morning. And the thought that we want to share this morning is, Lord, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. God is here today to move and to help and to work in your lives. But if there's any unbelief in there, then that hinders God. That hinders the Spirit of God from doing what he wants to do. Yes, God is all powerful, but you have the ability to stop the Spirit of God from moving in your life. You think about that. That's almost unbelievable. As powerful as God is, he spoke this world into existence just by saying, let there be light, and there was light. But yet you have the ability to stop the moving and working of the power and the Spirit of God in your life. And why does that happen? Because of our unbelief. We have unbelief at times. Whatever the situation or problem or mountain that you might be facing, at times we think it's just too much for God. God can't help me, or we take the path of, well, I got myself into this, and you know, God only helps those who help themselves. But we forget that God's a merciful God. He's full of grace and he's full of mercy. It doesn't matter how you got to where you are today. The Lord will come and pick you up right where you are today, and he'll lift you up out of those situations and those problems. But you have to believe. You have to believe. So we're going to look at Mark chapter 9. We're going to read this story to you here so you get the setting. And he's going to have the scriptures up here. We're reading quite a few verses. We're going to read 14 through 29. And this was the powerlessness of the disciples. But we're going to focus on, and when we get to the verse, you're going to know what verse we're going to dwell on. It's help my unbelief today. God, in the name of Jesus, pray that you will help us, minister unto us today, God. Lord, as we share your word today, that it will come alive in our hearts, God. Lord, that we can grow in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 14 of Mark 9. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, they were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they could cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with thee? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came upon him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into a fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent his sword and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And so you go into the setting of this here, and Jesus showed up on the scene, and there was his disciples, and the scribes were questioning the disciples. There was a question thing going on. And then Jesus showed up, and the people were amazed that Jesus was there, and they went to him, and he said to the scribes, what are you questioning my disciples? What seems to be the problem here? And so then they told the story about the man told the story, how he brought his son, dumb son, unto them, who was bound with this spirit, and his disciples couldn't help him. They couldn't help him. And then Jesus' response to that was, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, so the disciples done everything as before. And I would like to believe that they had successfully helped people before. Jesus said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse a leper, freely I've received, freely did, or cast out devils. And I believe that they had done that before. And they were in this situation again. And I don't think it was the first time for them. But in this situation that they were in, things didn't happen as they expected it to happen. They thought if we call upon the name of the Lord, we'll do it like we did it before, and this child's going to be set free. But they did it, and it didn't happen. Have you ever done something the same way as before, but you didn't get the results that you expected? There's times you call upon the name of the Lord and you get the answer to that prayer. You get the deliverance you need. Then there's another time you call on the name of the Lord and things don't happen like you expect them to happen. That gets you to wondering, what's going on here? Why ain't I receiving this help that I need? I'm just doing it like I always did before. So Jesus, he addressed this situation. And first he calls them, in verse 19, he calls them faithless. He said, you didn't get what you needed because you were faithless. And I believe he was speaking to the disciples, but maybe also if you do a little analysis of this whole story that I read, perhaps it was more to the Father, but they were a faithless generation. He said, how long, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? We need to have faith that when we call upon the name of the Lord, that the Lord is going to answer our prayers.
Yes.
He is going to help us. And then you get down into verse 23, and he called them an unbelieving people. He says, you're just not believing. He said, if you would believe, anything is possible. And we think about that today. Think about the situations you're facing. Well, it isn't going to happen. It can't be because I prayed. And if anything, things are getting worse. And then he also addressed them as a believing people. So unbelief in the Strong's Concordance is the negative form for the word faith. And it's defined as mistrust. That is unbelief. Unbelief is mistrust. We have a mistrust. We just don't trust. We just don't believe what like we should. And you know, you might not have thought about this, but unbelief is a faith. And we made mention of it in Sunday school this morning. I think it came up. People that believe in evolution, that is an unbelief in God, but yet it's a belief in something that's not even biblically lined up. So unbelief is a faith, but it's faith in the wrong things. Sometimes we have faith in the wrong things. And when you reject the promises of God, you reject what God says in His Word, you are holding on to some belief system. Just because you don't believe God's Word doesn't mean that you don't believe something. You do believe something. You'll have a belief. You have a belief. And so unbelief. And so when you reject the promises of God, you're holding to some belief system. Unbelief is faith in the wrong thing. It's a negative faith. And what are you talking about on negative faiths here? I have some examples. I have some examples of that. You have faith. People, well, don't look at it this way. Don't look at it as faith. But they have faith that cancer is going to kill them. If I get cancer, I know I'm going to die. That is a faith in the negative thing, that it's going to happen. You have faith in lack. You have faith in, I'll never have enough. I've always had a rough time in my life, and it's going to continue to be it that way. You're exercising your faith, but it's in the wrong thing. I'm never going to have enough. I'm always going to have lack of things. You also have faith in a broken relationship. It's just the way it is, and it's just always going to be this way, and it's never going to get put back together again. You have faith that that is what is going to happen, and if you have faith that that is what is going to happen, that is what will happen. That's a negative faith. I got cancer. It's going to kill me. You have faith that it's going to do that. I never have enough. You have faith that you'll never have enough. You'll never have enough. You have faith that that broken relationship can never be fixed again. It'll never be fixed again. And some people have a faith in their sickness. I'm sick and I'll always be sick. Every time I go to the doctor, they find something else wrong with me. And that's just the way my lot is in life. It's just always going to be that faith. So unbelief is faith, but it's a faith unto death. That's what it is. Unbelief is a faith, but it's a faith unto death. Amen. And the father cried out in verse 24. And straightway the father of the child cried out. And he said this. And you got to envision it. And he said it with tears. His child had been like that since his birth, because his father asked him in verse 21. Jesus asked him, and the father said, he's been like this since a child. And the father of the child cried out, verse 24, and he said it with tears. He didn't want to see his child tormented like this. Are you sick and tired of the situation that you are in? Up to this point in his life, this man had accepted that this is just the way it's going to be in my child's life. It's something that I'm going to have to deal with all the days of probably my life, because he'll probably outlive me, and it's just the way it's going to be. But he got sick and tired of facing this situation, and he wanted to see the circumstances change. And so he brought this child to the disciples of Jesus, hoping to receive help. And he thought, and his faith was, well, if they pray over him, he's going to receive that deliverance. He's going to be whole, and I'll take my child, because I know these disciples have done it before. I know that they can do it. But he took him to the disciples, and the prayer wasn't answered. It didn't work. And so then this man, at this point, he had tears in his eyes, and he said, Jesus, he said, Lord, I really believe. And then it's sort of a contradiction. Restatement, but then he finishes it saying, help thou mine unbelief. He was having a hard time believing that Jesus could really do it, perhaps because the disciples just tried to do it and were not successful. And the child's always been this way, and it doesn't look like there's ever going to be a change. There's never going to be a turn. There's never going to be anything that gets better. I'm trying to believe, but unbelief is just in there so strong, like it's never going to happen. And he said that, I believe, but help my unbelief. And so his circumstances could have caused him to say, I've come to you because I believe, and I've already alluded to this. He says, I've come to you because I believe, but your disciples couldn't help him. Your disciples couldn't help him. Now I'm believing that if they couldn't help him, see where his faith is? Perhaps he's saying, by faith, he's saying, your disciples couldn't help him, and I'm also believing that possibly you can't help him, because if they couldn't do it, perhaps you can't do it too. He was saying, God, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. And where are you at? Amen. Where are you at in your ability to believe God? Are you believing God's ability or his will? Amen. Are you believing that? Are you hearing these words? All things are possible to him that believeth. Amen. All things are possible to him that believeth. Only believe. God wants us to believe. God wants us to expect the impossible. God doesn't want us to fall in, well, it's always been this way and it's always going to be this way. I could use a lot of examples. Well, the church has never had a lot of people. It's always been this way and it's always going to be this way. We're never going to see any growth here because of, we can give a list of reasons, because of this, because of that, because of one thing and another. That's a negative faith and it produces its results. There will be no growth. But if we begin to believe, there is going to be growth in the name of Jesus. Amen. God's going to put his hand on this situation, and there's going to be new people coming into the kingdom of God. I'm not going to witness to people anymore, because every time I do, there goes our negative faith. I never get any results. I'm rejected. I've invited lots of people to church. Nobody's ever come. I've tried to talk to people about Jesus. They won't listen. I guess it's always going to be that way. That's a negative faith. That's what your expectation is. But your expectation needs to be, amen, what Jesus commissioned us to do. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. We can go out there and do exploits for him, but too many times we dwell on the negative. All things are possible to him that believeth. And that is in verse 23. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. If you have a child that is not serving God, it is rebelling and running from God, that child can become a Christian. They can turn and follow Jesus, because it says all things are possible to him that believeth. Amen. My household is going to be saved. My husband's going to be saved. My wife's going to be saved. My children are going to be saved. My grandchildren are going to be saved. There's going to be growth in the kingdom of God. There's going to be growth in the local assembly. There's going to be growth in the moving of the Spirit and the power of God. We have to believe all things are possible. Amen. It says that if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So where is your faith today? Is it a negative faith or is it a positive faith? God wants us to have that positive faith. Amen. It's a reminder. This, all things are possible to him that believeth. It's a reminder for us to check our hearts. to keep our eyes upon Jesus. It's not easy to keep your eyes upon Jesus when everything's going on around you and all the negativity that's going on. It's hard to keep your eyes upon Jesus. As the children of Israel journeyed through the promised land, we can think about them. It was hard for them to keep their eyes on God and remember what God had done for them because they were living in the reality of the situation, the here and now, and things weren't good for them, and that's all they could see, and they couldn't remind themselves. We need to check our hearts. We need to remind ourselves. Amen. We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. We need to look only to Jesus because He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Well, I've been taught that God only helps those who help themselves. Well, where's that in the Scripture? Where's that in the Word of God? Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. We have to keep our eyes upon Him. To say this, that this man said in verse 24, he said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And so when we get to this place where we can't believe God, amen, we can't believe that God can help us in our situation. You don't understand, Pastor. God can't help me in my situation. If you're not believing, and then without saying it, you're saying, but God can't help in this situation. There is no way God can help in this situation. Might I remind you that this God that you're thinking that about spoke this very world into existence? He created man, amen, by the word of His mouth. He created all that we see, and we need to know that God can help us. And why can we get into that situation where we believe but help my unbelief? It happens because we look at all the wrong things. There's negative things in everything that you do. Oh, there's some people, like I say, there's pessimistic and there's optimistic. And I'm not going to try to guess which one is which. One, everything's possible. They're all positive. And the other one's just all negative about everything. And I, as my wife says, I live up to the meaning of my name because my name is Thomas. And Thomas means doubting. You can give me any scenario of anything. And I have to be careful. Instead of me seeing the positive that can happen in things, I'm one that's going to have the tendency to see the things to be cautious about, to see the negative things, to see that if this doesn't go this way, this is what the outcome could be. I have to be careful with that myself. And so it happens because we look at all the wrong things. When we say, I believe, but I'm really not sure if God can do it. We have to be careful with that. We need to stir up our minds, amen, to remembrances of the promises of God. And I didn't mark it in Scripture, but He's going to put it up on the board. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, if you can find that one and put it up there. We need to stir up our minds in remembrances of the promises of God's Word. If God said it, that settles it. That settles it because God said it, whether I believe it or not. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. We are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. We are destroyed. We don't get what God wants us to get because we don't know the promises of God. We need to take our rightful place as a child of God. You have to take your rightful place. I could use the example. If you were the son of an important person, if you were the son of a president and you weren't recognized, you went somewhere and you weren't recognized as the son of the president, all is you would have to say to them and remind them, say, hey, show them the proof, but I'm the son of the president. And then you're going to get results. Things are going to begin to happen. Things are going to move out of the way. They're going to roll out the red carpet for you. There's times we need to remind the devil that we're the son of a king. Amen. That Jesus is our father. Jesus is our king. Amen. And then the devil has to back up. But you know, the hard time's coming. Devil, apparently you forgot who my father is. My father is the Lord Jesus Christ, and He lives on the inside of me. And like that song we sang this morning, so move over, devil. Amen. I'm coming through. I don't know if we sang that one. I'm tired of you, devil. You've had me bound too long. I'm going to lift my hand towards heaven. I'm going to sing me a happy song. We have to remind ourselves of who we are in Christ. Yes, we have to do that. We have to remind ourselves. But these people in Hosea, they were destroyed for lack of knowledge. They were ignorant about His Word. They forgot what the Word says. They forgot what it said, or they just simply rejected what God said. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. I can do this. Instead of saying, I can't, I can't. Instead of saying, I know that I can't because I tried before and failed, so it's not wrong for me to say I can't because I know I can't. By faith, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. I think that verse is, he's going to put that one up here for us. So how does it come? This faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You got to have faith. You can speak to this mountain and you can say, mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. There's a story told many years ago. Pastor Eastman used to share this illustration a lot. And there was a lady that lived in a house, and there was a big mountain in front of her house, and it always blocked so that she couldn't see. It was either the sunset or the sunrise. You know, I mean, that's one of them you'll want to see. You want to see either one or the other. If you live in an ideal place, you can see both of them. But the sun was blocked from view, and I believe it was the sunrise. And she said, Lord, it said in your word, we can speak to this mountain that it will be removed. God, I pray that this mountain be removed so I can see the sunrise. And a period of time went on, and she heard a rumble and then a thundering going on. And she looked out there, and here was the big equipment out there, and they were going to put a highway through there, and they shaved the top of that mountain right off so that she could see the sunrise. And it was like, thank you, God. And she took it literal and said, speak to this mountain, it'll be removed. But we know that that's figuratively speaking too. What's the mountain in your life that needs removed? We all have a mountain. My mountain might not look nothing like your mountain, but my mountain to me is a big deal. It's a big deal for me. You look at it and think, huh, that's a snap. That's easy breezy. He shouldn't be struggling with that little mountain. And I might look at your mountain and I might think the same thing about you. But when you're the one that's facing the mountain, no matter how small that mountain is, it's a big mountain. It's a hard mountain. And naturally speaking, we feel like I can't get over this. But the Word of God says we can speak to that mountain and say, mountain, be removed in the name of Jesus. You know what's the matter with us? We want to know all the whys and wherefores. We want to know how God's going to remove that mountain. We want to know how God's going to solve that problem and solve that situation instead of simply saying, God, remove this mountain from my life. Remove this hindrance from my life. I don't know how and when you're going to do it, but God, I know that you're going to do it. The Word of God says that we have that. Romans 10:17, we already read that. It's up there. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How do we build up our faith? Amen. By hearing the Word of God, it will inspire us. Amen. By your personal reading of the Word of God. Coming into the house of God by hearing the preaching of the word. You can hear it through song. There's a lot of ways that you can hear it. It can build up your faith. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20, amen. Perhaps this is the last verse that I had given him that we're going to share this morning. Amen. Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings. Incline your ear unto what the Word of God says, not what the world says. You can't do it. You're not going to make it. You got cancer. You're going to die from it. And that list of things that I read to you earlier, you're facing all of these things in your life. Well, you've always had lack. You were raised in a family that never had enough. It's going to pass on to you. You're never going to have enough money. You're never going to be able to pay all your bills. Oh, we got to incline our ears unto His sayings. What does His Word say about that? It will supply all of your needs according to my riches in glory. We got to incline our ear unto what God is saying. Amen. Our faith is saying, oh, I got a broken relationship and I've seen others that gone through this and the only way out is thus and so, and we have it all figured out. What does the Word of God say? Incline your ears unto what God is saying. And if you have sickness that you're battling, incline your ear to what the Word of God is saying. Yeah, but you don't know how I feel. I'm hurting. I mean, I understand that. God understands that. But we have to incline our ear unto what God is saying. Amen. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of peace was upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed. Now that is a spiritual healing, but I believe it's also a physical healing. We have to claim the promises of the Word of God. God's Word that you ingest, that you take in by being here today, by the study of the Word, by listening to the Word being read. That is faith food. That will build your faith. And so the mountain that you're facing today, it seems like a huge mountain. And you get the faith stirring and arising in your heart. And pretty soon that mountain doesn't look like such of a mountain. And pretty soon the mountain is just laid low. And then the Word of God says He'll take your crooked paths and He'll make them straight. Yeah. And He'll bless you coming in and going out. So apart from Jesus in your life, you can do nothing. I can do nothing apart from Jesus. And John 1:1 tells us that. Why? Because Jesus is the Word. Amen. Jesus is the Word. Apart from the Word of God, we can do nothing. And the Word of God also tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You have to have faith. Have faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You have to have faith. This is what I want to see. If you're not in perfect health, by faith you see yourself in perfect health. You have a lack of things in your house. By faith, there's always going to be food in your cupboards. You have a lack of faith, of relationship issues going on. It's always going to be this way. By faith, you have to see that relationship the way that you would like, the way you would like it to be blessed, for there to be harmony, for there to be peace in the home, instead of looking at the turmoil. Amen. You got to see it through faith. My child has gone astray, and I guess it's just always going to be that way. By faith, you have to see the way that you want it to be. I want to see them loving and serving God. I want to see them in church. I want to see them raising their families in church. You have to see it that way. You have to see it by faith. Amen. Without faith, you can't please God. Amen. God's word that was spoken by Him, it causes results simply by the Word of God. He spoke the world into existence. This beautiful world that we see. We had the opportunity of traveling this last summer and we went around the country. We've seen the beauty of just this country here, but the world is massive. There's a lot out there, and all that we see, God spoke that into existence by His Word. And we need the Word of God spoken over our situation. We need the Word of God to be spoken, amen, as it was to this young man here, where he said in verse 25, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him." And he was set free. We need God to speak the word over your situation. I need the Word of God. Amen. I need Him to speak His word over my situation. And then you'll get that deliverance that you need. Amen. And so the Word of God, He spoke the world into existence. His word doesn't come back void. It doesn't come back empty. Whatever He says it's going to do, it's going to do. Every word of God starts as a seed and it bears fruit. It bears fruit. Every word of God starts as a seed. What you're hearing today is starting as a seed, and it will bear fruit. This is the important part, according to the condition of your heart. If your heart can receive that seed of faith, if your heart can receive the seed of the Word of God, and it's in the right condition, it will grow. It will produce fruit. Hebrews tells us the children of Israel couldn't enter the promise of God because they didn't mix faith with the Word. They didn't mix faith with what God said was going to be. They couldn't enter into the promised land. An example of that is, they had no faith in God, but what did they have? Caleb and Joshua came back. They didn't have faith in Caleb and Joshua. They had faith in the giants. The giants are greater than us. If we go in, we're going to die. That's where our faith is. If they would have went in, they would have died, because that's where their faith was. Where is your faith today? Amen. And so here we are. Here we are today. Lord, I believe. I know You can do it. Help my unbelief. I'm just not sure You're going to do it. I know You can do it. I'm just not sure You're going to do it. Many times we let the enemy lie to us. I'm not worthy of it. None of us are worthy of the blessings of God. So don't let that lie from the enemy hold you back from receiving, because it'll remind you of how terrible you are and how you've messed up and you've done this, and you call yourself a child of God and you acted that way, you did this. God's not going to hear your prayer. You need to rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. The father, he cried for help. It says in verse 24, with tears, he was saying, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And what did Jesus do? He responded to that, and he rebuked the unclean spirit. He raised the boy up. Here's the message today. God always wants to help you. He always wants to help you. You always want to help your children. If you didn't, you wouldn't be a good parent. You always want to help your children. God always wants to help you. And He wants to help you. He wants to help us in our struggles. The struggles that we have. Oh, I'm ashamed. I shouldn't be struggling with this. I should have more faith in this. Hey, if it's a struggle, it's a struggle. And God knows it's a struggle for you. And God sees you in that struggle. And He wants to help you. And it's in the Father's heart to help you. He wants to help you, but we have to call upon the name of the Lord. We can look at it many different ways. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be delivered. Lord, help me. As Peter was in his struggle in the water, Jesus saw him in the water. He stepped out on that water. He started to sink. Jesus seen him going down, and he looked down to Peter, and he would have watched Peter go down. I think I shared this last week. I believe he would have watched it. It would have been the end of Peter. But Peter cried out and he says, Lord, help me. Lord, save me. And that's where we are today. In your struggles, in your situations that you're facing, you have to cry out with faith and say, Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Lord, deliver me. Amen. Because He wants to help us. Amen. And so what is the Father's heart? The Father's heart is to always help. He wants to help. At all times, He wants to help you. He's not willing that any should perish. Also, He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And that's in Hebrews 11:6. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Well, I asked Him and it got worse. I asked Him and it didn't get any better. We keep going back. We keep saying, God, I need your help. God, I'm believing. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I rebuke the unbelief in the name of Jesus. You unbelieving spirit, get away from me. You're not going to find no place to nest in my life. You get away from me because I'm going to believe. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, amen, you can do great things for God. It don't take a lot of faith. It just takes a little bit of faith. Amen. And He will help you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, He will help you in your infirmities. Your infirmities. In your situation, God will help you. Well, I got myself here. I got it. No, stop thinking like that. It is what it is, and by the grace and mercy of God, He will help you. What parent wouldn't help their child, even if their child gets themselves into quite of a situation, and it was all because of their own doings, and they cried out to you as a mother or father and says, please help me. You're going to say, you got yourself into it, you get yourself out. Sometimes it might be appropriate to say that, but for the most part, as natural parents, when our children cry out to us for help, when they're in a dire situation, we are going to respond to that. We are going to help them. Our Heavenly Father is better than any earthly parent ever was. But we have to call upon the name of the Lord and say, Lord, help me. God, but help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Amen. And as we're finishing this up, and I pray that it spoke to your heart today. Lord, I believe, but, that's the problem right there. But, Lord, I believe, but you don't see. Oh, we can't say that about God. We have to cross that one off. There's nothing that you can't say that God can't see or hear or understand. He hears, He understands, He sees, and He knows any situation better than you know. He knows the solution to every situation you're facing in your life, and He wants to help. He wanted to help this young man. And that father was probably thinking, well, your disciples couldn't do it because they couldn't do it. Perhaps He's got something that even you can't help with. There's times that we're going to be tempted to think that God can't even help me in the situation that I'm in. God can help you in whatever situation you're facing.
Amen.
Amen. There's a little song we used to sing years ago. We haven't sung it for a long time.